If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be turning to, initially, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we're looking at two verses specifically, and then we're going to be jumping back a little bit in between a few different books of the Bible. And the reason why is because there's a few things that have stuck out to me this week. Last week, we talked about the idea of repentance and how crucial that is in our lives, that we can openly and freely forgive others and ask for forgiveness ourselves, but that it's a foundational thing in our lives. And as we do so, it releases a weight that we would normally bear. And it can be for whether it's a large offense or a small offense, whether it's something that happened 10 to 15 years ago or something that just happened as you're driving here, repentance is key. Forgiveness is key. Because this is a key of the kingdom, and this is a key of who you were created to be. As God is the ultimate forgiver, He has now imbued us with that characteristic, that ability to forgive others. And so as we forgive others, we are releasing the kingdom principle into their lives, a piece of the kingdom, a piece of heaven into their lives, so that they no longer have to bear a weight which they should not have bore. But before we kind of really head in here, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much again for the blessing of being able to come here, Lord, without the restrictions that we once had. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage hearts and minds, that we see the increase of your kingdom, Lord God, and that we have plenty of opportunity, Father, to express that which is a reality within our own hearts, Lord God, to the measure of our faith, to the measure of which we are pursuing you, Lord. We ask that you would embolden us to pursue others and to express your kingdom in all the relationships that we have and every conversation that we have. We thank you and we love you and we trust you. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' heavenly name. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 10, verses 1. We're going to look at two verses. We're going to look at the very first verse, verse 1, and then we're going to actually look at verse 8. And so let's just read here really quickly in chapter 10, verse 1. It says here that Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So just to kind of bring you up to speed as to where we're at, he is walking with his disciples, and now he has given them, he has freely imbued upon them authority to walk as he was walking, to conduct themselves in the same manner as he conducted himself for the benefit of those around and also to usher in the kingdom of heaven. And so he gave them something. Now, he gave them authority was the one thing that he gave them. And the Greek word for authority in this specific sense is exousia. And it actually means to have jurisdiction, to have power that's enacted or can be enacted in a situation. So he's given them authority, he's given them jurisdiction and a power to act over these specific items, these things that would normally be seen as impossible or without solution perhaps. There was no necessary solution, at least not in an immediate sense, in that day. And so he's giving them the authority, the jurisdiction over these things as unclean spirits, being able to cast them out to heal every kind of sickness and disease and every kind of other malady as well. Then he gives them a few more directions as to what they're going to be doing as he sends them off, about going away to the Gentiles, not to the Gentiles, not to the Samaritans, but rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And then we see another little interesting thing in verse 8, where it says here that he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Freely you received, freely give. This idea that because Jesus has now freely, without any merit, given them an authority over these items, that then they are supposed to give that authority to take that away in other people's lives. And that is what they then have received. I find it very interesting also that in this, one is enacting a power or jurisdiction over things like sickness and death, disease, the dominion of darkness. And as we can see here, it even says that you're supposed to cleanse the lepers. How can this be applied today? Leprosy was a highly contagious disease back then. There was no known cure. It was a fearful thing. In other words, they would have leper colonies outside the city. If you were found to have leprosy, you would have to go and live out there. You could not associate. You would have to self-isolate, as it were. And yet what's happening here is we're seeing Jesus say, look, now that I've given you this authority, you can now go and cleanse lepers. In other words, you're not going to be made unclean by them. Rather, they are going to be cleansed by you. You are going to impart to them purity and immunity to this disease. You're not going to contract it. Do I really need to lay it out anymore as to what's going on in the world right now? And so the reality for the disciples is the same as the reality that we possess and have the potential to possess, and that being that we can carry that authority. So why don't we? What have we lost along the way? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, you should almost have this all committed to memory, but the reality is that Jesus says at the very end, he says that, and all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, Jesus is with us as much now as he is in every circumstance and relationship that we have. He is there. He is present. He is a God that is with us. He is a God that is for us. He is always with us. He is always for us. And because of this, he has been given all authority, and therefore now we have that access to authority, and we have the opportunity to enact it. Last night, very interesting situation that took place. And I'm not talking about the baseball-sized thing that went through Kelly's back window, but that is very interesting. The reality is that last night we had a storm that was approaching, and it could have caused a lot of damage, yes? In fact, it did. I mean, I don't know if anyone has seen the reports from Airdrie. There are houses that have been completely tore up. I mean, I can't imagine the millions of dollars that has been caused just by this storm. And now, we were somewhat immune here. And I'm not going to tip my toes into something that I shouldn't try and tip my toes into, but my son was up. Just as the storm was starting to rage out there, we had attempted to pull both our cars under our carport, which was a little bit foolish because the back end of one would still be sticking out. But the reality is my son was up, and we were watching the storm outside. And as you can tell, like an eight-year-old, when there's thunder that's nonstop, there's winds that are raging, there's rain that's pouring down, there's the tendency to be very fearful. I know I would have been scared out of my pants. That's probably why he was up at the time. And so at that moment, the only thing that I could say to him, with all the warnings and everything that was going on, was I said, do you remember that story? Do you remember the story when Jesus was in the boat? The wind was raging, the seas were heaving, and he was asleep, and he was just having a nap, and the disciples were very scared. And they had to ask him, they had to say, please, can you help us? Don't you care? We're going to die. There's some severe peril here. And Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind, he rebuked the waves, and they were shocked. Who is this, they said, that he could stop the wind and the waves? And so I said to Donovan, I said, Donovan, we have the authority to rebuke as Jesus rebukes, to be held protected and safe in his care and his hands. And so I said, let's pray right now. So he says, sure. And so I said, repeat after me. He said, in Jesus' name. He said, in Jesus' name. He said, winds be still. And he said, winds be still. He said, in Jesus' name, protect our home and our friends. Protect our home and our friends. In Jesus' name. He says, in Jesus' name. And I don't know what was happening 100 or 200 yards away, but the tree across the street just died. It just stopped. And he looked at it and he said, hey, Dad, tree stopped. The rain was still going sideways by the streetlight, but that tree was completely dead still. And I can't help but think that there is more authority that God is desiring for us to enact than we are actually willing to step into. And if we would realize that, we would realize the gravity or the depth to which we have access to this authority, that it would change the world. It would change every single life around us. And you know what's going to, what encouraged me the most? God was faithful. He was faithful to my son. Because he'll never forget that. He won't forget that 5 years from now. He'll probably say, hey, Dad, remember that time we prayed and that tree, God stopped that tree? We have authority. We have access to authority, but we can't rightly, freely give away that which we don't have. If freely we've been given it and received it, and freely we should be giving it away, we have to take reception of it in order to give it. You can't give away what you don't have or haven't received. Authority carries with it a realization of an identity. It allows you to tie your identity to something. Authority of a king would seem to suggest that his identity is a king. He has the authority over things, and then he acts in a like manner. So as you, sons and daughters of a most high God, then you now have immeasurably more authority than any king earthly could have. Immeasurably more power than any army of the world at this point. That is what the potential is for us to carry, and we have that capacity. Turn with me to Psalm 106, verse 19. Psalm 106, verse 19 and 20. It says here, and this is a story of the Israelites in the desert. It says here that they made a calf at Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They had gone through the desert. They had seen God accomplish great testimonies to his name and mighty things by his hand. And yet they got to a point where they exchanged their glory for the image of another. They exchanged their likeness for something else. I don't know, honestly, why anyone would do that. I don't know if perhaps you lose memory of the great and glorious works of God. Everyone here has a testimony. Everyone here has a story to tell of God's interaction with their lives. And if it's a matter of them forgetting, then we have a warning or a caution here for ourselves that if we start to forget the wondrous works of God, his testimonies, that then we have the error that could present itself of placing a priority of something else which then consumes us and transforms us into the likeness of that instead of the likeness of God in whose image we've been created. And so in that way, we are then exchanging our glory for something else. We are exchanging our image or our likeness for something that is subpar, is not meant to be. We become that which consumes us many times, and then we assimilate these characteristics and attributes. And for many of us, that is purely just simply not receiving the authority that we should receive. We've been lied to many times. We've been told lies to say that enough, this is it, this is all there is. And I disagree, there is always more. If we serve an infinite God, then why would he put a glass ceiling on something? He's never said so in Scripture. There's always more. There's always more. And in order for us to understand that there's more, we have to not exchange our glory for something that is a lie or that which is sub what we should be able to receive. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18. It says here, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Liberty there in verse 17 has a very similar meaning to the exousia that's being talked about of jurisdiction or authority. Where the Spirit of the Lord there is this authority, there's this liberty, this jurisdiction. And that as we are beholding God, as we are pursuant of this authority, then we are then being changed from one glory to another glory, to another glory, to another glory. Right now, you are all carrying glory. As you pursue, God may see fit that you are moved into another glory, and then another glory, and then another glory. If that makes sense, I hope it does. We with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, as in a mirror. The only reason why that we don't enact the authority that we should freely receive is because it's almost as though we've forgotten who we should be. We've looked in the mirror and we've said, when we've accepted Jesus and we see Jesus and we say, wow, okay, that is what we should be. And then it's like we've just walked away. That is the true image, and now we've walked away and forgotten who we should truly be. That's what it's saying here. You're just forgetting who you were always meant to be. Sons and daughters of the Most High God, you are meant to be. Carriers of authority and jurisdiction over sickness and disease, you were meant to be. Those that can cure and pass on immunity instead of taking on disease, those that are to be able to raise people from the dead are who you are meant to be. Those that are to free others from the dominion of darkness and trial, you are meant to be. That is your image. That is the image that you're supposed to see and supposed to relate to. See, the glory that is they exchanged is the image or the likeness of who they were created to be. This likeness not only is just something that you would recognize in the mirror physically, but this is something that is much more deep than that. It's a spiritual likeness. It is a capacity or an essence of who you are to be. In everything, we are to be that. Paul says, follow my example as I follow Christ. In other words, he was trying to replicate so accurately Jesus that for those that were following him, they would not be able to discern between the two. That was how confident he was of his mannerisms, of his characteristics, of his lifestyle. Follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, I want to replicate it so closely to you that there will be no room for doubt. Follow my example as I follow Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. It says here in verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on exactly how he lived, what he said, that in every way, that in every capacity that we are to try and be as one as he was one with the Father, then we are one with him and therefore are one with the Father. and the more accurately that we pursue this, then we have that authority. Because it's taking on a whole new identity. It's actually stepping into the image, the likeness that you were created to be from the get-go. It's potential. It's what we were created for. It's our capacity. But again, like I said, you can't give away that which you don't have. You can't freely give that which you haven't freely received. Does that then mean to say that, okay, well, I believe in Jesus, I've received Jesus, therefore I can give Jesus away? Well, I think in a broad term, yes. But there are many who would claim to have received Jesus who are giving nothing away. There are many who would claim to be sons and daughters of the Most High God that are giving none of that attribute away in any way. No authority, no nothing. So there has to be something else that's going on here. There has to be an imbued power that one can receive, then they can give it away. You cannot give away what you don't have. You also cannot accurately imitate that which you don't give full authority to in your life. You cannot accurately imitate Jesus if you have not given him the full authority and rule and reign in your life. And as you do, when you give that full authority and rule and reign to Jesus in your life, then you have more accurately the ability to represent him and to extend that authority into others' lives. So my encouragement to everyone this morning specifically is to step into your true image. Like, enact it. Do it. I can't make anyone do anything. Sorry. I mean, you should want to do it. What is the benefit? What is the work to do it? I don't know. But I really wonder if the disciples had been sent off to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to free people from demons, to raise the dead, if they were supposed to give away what they had received, in other words, they received that ability, and then Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. All that authority has been given to me, therefore you have it now to go. Teach everyone else who's following you the same. Freely give everyone the same. Then we are to be carbon copies of the disciples, as the disciples were attempting to be carbon copies of Jesus. Emissaries here. So if we're not doing that, what happens then? I'm not trying to like raise any guilt, but should we not look for opportunities to help, to serve, to give, to bless? At the risk of losing a bit of treasure in heaven, I'm going to tell this story, because you know how it says, like, don't let the right hand know what your left hand is doing when you're giving and helping? I don't know where the address is on that one in the Bible, but what I'm trying to say is that when we were driving to Calgary, And little ones are getting a little bit owly on Friday, so we stopped to get a small lunch at McDonald's just through the drive-thru. And as we were pulling in, we saw a man there with a cardboard sign saying, any loose change or food, I'm very hungry. And it was just scribbled on there. And as we pulled in, both Cynthia and I noticed that. I said, that guy needs some food, we should get some food. Right? And my wife said the same. And so as I pulled around, there was a long enough line in there that she got out and asked, you know, can we get you something? And he says, yeah, could you get me just a meal of any kind? It didn't matter, a meal and a pop. And so we got him a meal and came back out. And then he came over and Cynthia, I stayed in the car with the kids because there was a lot of traffic. And then Cynthia got out and gave him this food. And she just said, you know, I'm a Christian. I just want to pray for you. And he says, I'm a Christian too. And so she prayed for him. No social distancing. And he was crying. He was bawling his eyes out. And I don't know, this sounds really bad. I don't know, like 10 years ago, if I would have been so inclined to immediately help someone. And that's very bad for me to say. I don't know if that's my own life or experiences. Sometimes we get taken advantage of sometimes, but I just don't know if I would have been so inclined. I'm sure the Holy Spirit would have convicted me 10 years ago and enough time in the drive-thru that I would have been like, well, I probably should get him a cheeseburger or something, right? But to do it joyfully and then to have the opportunity to bless them and to impart something to them, to give something to them, and then to bless them after the fact, is as though you're releasing a bit of that jurisdiction, that authority into their life of peace. We all have the opportunity every day to freely give that which we've received, but we cannot rightly give that which we have not received and taken fully for ourselves. So my encouragement to everyone here this morning, step into the authority that God is desiring for you to carry, the full authority, not the one minus the healing and the sickness and disease, not the one that's minus the raising the dead because that might be impossible, not the one that minuses anything. Step into the full authority, and you'll appear different to others. It'll be attractive to others. It'll cause them to question. Lastly, I want to share something that, and I do this in, like, with trepidation because I'm not too sure how this works. I've been praying a lot in my times with the Lord for the gift, for prophecy in order to encourage everyone. And I feel like I might have a word for someone here or a few. I don't know. On Monday, I was mowing the lawn, and I was just pondering God because we have a lot of lawn. So it's a good way to just think back and forth. And as I got towards the finish of our backyard, I was just thinking, Lord, like, I just want to know what is it? What's going on here? What's coming to pass? What would you like to share? Is there anyone who could hear something that might be applicable to their lives? And so I felt, it's almost like a conversation started in my mind. Not one of those like psychotic break conversations. I don't think I was losing it at that point, because when I started to think about what was coming and the words that were just coming, I started to cry. And I'm like, man, I mean, I don't really like cutting grass, but it's not that bad, you know? And so I thought I'll keep going. And it hit me here. And so whether this is true for yourself or not, I just want to encourage you. I feel like God is wanting to finish what he has started, and that there's a season right now that he is bringing to completion that was left undone. And so I don't know if that resonates with anyone's heart here, if there's something in their lives that is maybe not quite finished, or God hasn't completed yet, or something that has been put on the back burner. But God is wanting to bring it to completion. He wants it to come to pass. And I think this is the season that we can step into that fully. So, I mean, if that's resonated with you in any way, I'd love to pray for you here after the service when we're done. And I just want to bless that. And if not, then that's fine as well. But aside from that, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your mercy and your grace in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us more than we could possibly think of or imagine by sending your son to die on the cross for us, Lord, that you've given us new life. And in that new life, Lord God, that you have given it to us in abundance. And Lord God, I pray that you would help us to realize that, to enact it in our lives, Father, to step into the authority that you desire for us to carry and to then freely give. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us not to be hindered by anything that we've been taught in the past, Lord, and not to take away from the full authority that you desire us to carry, but Lord, to step into the fullness of it, Lord God, and then to freely give that which we continually receive, Lord God. As soon as we receive it, that we can give it away, Lord, and that we can be your ambassadors here, Lord, that we can see your kingdom come, both here in Brooks, Lord God, to every relationship that we are in, as well as in this province and nation, Lord God, and any walk of life that we have, and any possibility that we have to communicate your love, your grace, your mercy, and your power, Lord, to extend it, we ask, Lord God, that you would open up that door. Open divine appointments, we pray, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would impart to us your discernment and your wisdom, and Holy Spirit, that you would rest heavy upon us, that you would clothe us in your boldness, Lord God, and that you would fill us afresh this day, kindling the gift that you have placed uniquely inside each heart. I ask this in your mighty name, Jesus, and all of God's people say, Amen. Amen.